Well, lots happening these days in Nassau County. Always good to get an update, and that's what we'll have from our next guest. And it's all part of our Spotlight segment on Long Island this morning. Delia DeRigge-Witten, she handles District Number 11 as far as the Nassau County Legislature is concerned. Always good to have her. Delia, how are you?
Oh, very good. Thank you for having me again.
Good to have you back. And, of course, right off the bat, we'll ask you, as an election year and election day approaches about 4 weeks away or so, and you are certainly battling in your district as well, correct?
Yes. Actually, technically, my district is the closest as far as the registration votes go. And as you know, I believe, the majority is only one seat away from having supermajority, which means they could bond without us. So there's a little pressure to keep my seat just to make sure that all parties and all legislators have a say in how much we're bonding and keep an eye on our fiscal responsibilities.
There you go. And certainly it's been a long run here with primaries and everything else taking place and finally getting underway here. You're hitting the doors and everything else. What's been the reaction there as far as the district?
It's very positive, I have to say. I was lucky last year. Last time I did win by a significant amount, and I hope to do the same. I run every election the same, no matter who I'm running against. It's always positive. And, you know, it's a formula. You really do have to hit the doors. You have to go to events. You have to do good, intelligent mailings, letters, you know, so it really, it does take a lot of effort. And I have to say, I love government. The politics sometimes I could do without, but unfortunately they come together. So
yeah, part of the game.
I can do about it, right.
No question about it, including a very contentious county executive race. And we've had both candidates on. We had Senator Jack Martin's on the other day in the studio, and Laura Kern will be with us next week. I mean, that's an interesting race. What's your take? What's been the reaction there with Ed Mangano pretty much walking into the sunset? And I don't know about sunset as far as Mangano is concerned. We'll talk about that at another time. But in essence, you got a couple of contenders here that are really vying for votes in a big way here.
They are. And one positive thing that I think came out of the last 8 years is that everyone now is aware of how much waste there is in corruption. I heard an estimate of 4% tax increase, basically, just to cover the contracts that were given out that honestly probably shouldn't have been. So I think both Senator Martins and Legislator Kern are fully aware of it. It seems to be the focus of their campaign. So I'm actually very happy to see that, because I think both of them will have, you know, they're going to be expected to change things. And again, you're not talking about major shake. You know, basically, it's just transparency and having contracts be fully vetted to make sure there's no, you know, connections. And I think it really will make a big difference in our budget, and I'm hopeful that in January we're going to have a new wave. I will say one thing that I'm concerned about. You know, the prior administration, it does seem that you know, the current administration does seem to still be involved with you know, with Martin's race. I just hope that he kind of distances himself if he does win. If he has the same people around him that are there now, I'm afraid, you know, say people running his campaign, possibly, it might just mean the same thing that we've had for the last 8 years. And I, again, hope not, but I'm hearing a lot of the same names being used in his campaign that were used in Ed Mangano.
Well, that could be a problem, and I can understand why people you know, certainly might be a bit upset about that. You know, it's interesting, you mentioned words of transparency and contracts. I can't help but think of that whole Dean Skelos situation. And the fact that his conviction, of course, overturned. And, you know, this is really a main element of this whole thing that bothers so many, and voters, in the fact that when they go to the polls, they look for stuff like this. They want to see transparency and everything else. What was your reaction as far as the whole Skelos conviction being overturned? And certainly a very key component going forward here.
If you if you read the decision, it really didn't debate the actual facts of the case. I mean, the fact that this contract for $12 million was given for, you know, was after numerous amounts of pressure, which were all recorded. None of that changed. You know, the facts of the case have remained the same. This was a technicality that that they were able to use. They also used it in the Silver case. It's the same technicality. It's something that I think is going to be addressed. And, you know, I still believe in everyone having their right for a fair trial and everything, but I think they're going to retry this case, and I think they're also going to retry Shelley's case and Assemblyman Shelley. And I think, you know, honestly, the facts are what people care about, and those facts still remain. And that's the problem. That's the problem we have is, you know, there's no way. I don't know if you heard some of the transcripts from those tapes, but there was a lot of duress being put on, you know, government officials to give out contracts to family members, and there's no way that we can afford it, and it never should happen anyway, even if we could afford it.
No, so. It can't happen. It can't happen again. And, of course, you're referring to the Robert McDonald statute, as I call it, the former Virginia governor. What is classified as an official act? And that's the big question. Thus, the reason why Shelley Silver and Dean Skelos got off, and certainly a silver lining in the Mangano camp these days, but certainly these are loopholes that have to be closed.
They are, and you know, I don't know, maybe you have a different feel, but I don't feel that people are forgiving what happened because of the fact that they're trying to tie it into part of the job. I mean, I don't think people have a tolerance for that decision that came down. It's not part of the job. Like, there's no way that my family members are going to get, you know, any benefit from the fact that I'm there, you know, and it's just the way that it should be. It's a real honor to be a public servant, and unfortunately, some people look at it that way, but other people look at it as, you know, it's their privilege to do whatever they want. And those days are over, because now one good thing about technology and everything else is we are able to, you know, to track more. And for better or worse, I think it keeps people honest. And again, I don't think people are fine with what happened with Dean Skelos.
No.
The fact of the matter is it's still the same situation. It's just, and, you know, I've heard that if there's going to be a change in a district court, that possibly this will be, you know, retried shortly. So it's a little, yes, it's, maybe, I don't want to call it a setback because, you know, it is what it is. But I don't think if it pertained to the facts, if they found out, oh, he never did ask for a contract for his son, well, then I'd say, okay, great. You know what, there was a mistake made. But that did not happen. All the facts are the same. It's just a technicality.
Talking with Delia DeRee-Witten, she is a Nassau County legislator and represents the 11th District. Let's kind of move on. You have an interesting situation brewing in the county these days regarding the budget, Delia. And, you know, can the budget be approved by the 30th of October? Obviously, Election Day is November the 7th, so voters casting ballots in this election, well, Is one supposed to know what legislators decide before they decide just which way they will vote? So you have an interesting give and take going here.
Well, I think that's the primary purpose that we do the budget. The budget is supposed to be in by the ordinance, by the statute, by before Election Day for that very purpose, so that people know how their elected official voted. I don't know if you followed it, but there are all the fees that are being considered.
No question.
Even, they wanted us to pass the budget through the Finance Committee and the Rules Committee with the understanding, oh, that this might not be the budget, you know, that we might just change all the fees. And, I put on the record, and I get baffled by all this. I'm like, wait a minute, but we're passing through. You want us to vote yes on something that is not going to be what will be the final budget? Is that what you're saying? And Norma Gonzalez said, yes, we're working on it, so pass it through. And it'll be different when you see it in October.
Yeah.
So I didn't vote for it because there's no way. You know, how are you going to do that? Like, we need to have, you know, the whole point of legislators being there, they didn't even want to discuss the budget in committee. They said, oh, just wait till the hearings or whatever. But, you know, the whole point, the reason why we're sitting up there for 10 hours at a time is to hear what their plan is and to hear what the numbers are. And they didn't even want to discuss it. And in fact, they absolutely refused to discuss it in the committee hearings. And, I mean, we tried, and they shut us down again. So,
and you're talking about fees. You're talking about maybe stripping $59 million in fee increases from Ed Mangano's budget. And this is a key thing. You know, we're talking about these public safety fees, you know, increasing the $55 safety fee that's tacked on to traffic and red light camera tickets that were adopted last year. So there's a lot that certainly is going into this whole thing.
There is, and there's other ones with which affect, you know, mortgage recording tax, you know, things like that. And it's just things that go against what we want people to do, which is like buy homes in Nassau County. You know, I was told by a few legislators on Monday that they weren't voting for the fees. But again, it's not, there we go with transparency. It should be on the record before November 7th how everyone's voting. And this happened once before. There was the administration, Ed Mangano, sent down a budget that had a tax increase.
Right.
And the legislators, you know, the Republican legislators, everyone voted against it. And then basically what happened is Ed Mangano's able to submit it again, basically. And if the legislature as a whole doesn't vote against it again, it goes through. So essentially a tax increase went through without the legislature ever voting on it. And that all happened after the election. So there's a lot of sneaky things. That's another thing I think has to be completely revisited and completely changed. Because, you know, I'm not there to do anything else other than just try to make it as fair as possible. And I'm a taxpayer. I'm a single mom. I don't like a lot. I've seen a slight improvement, but there's still a lot that has to be changed.
Yeah, and last year, legislators initially, I guess, approved the budget, the 2017 budget, without acting on public safety increases that Mangano had proposed, and ultimately, I guess, they reduced the fee. It was $105 down to $55. That was on the traffic and red light camera tickets, and then eliminated it, if my memory serves correct, for the parking tickets. So, you know, you had a little bit of a situation last year along the same lines here.
We did. And again, you know, it should all be out in the open. We're sitting there again for hours upon hours. You know, it should be discussed there, not in back rooms after everyone left. You know, it's something that should be vetted. And look, I know it's not easy. You know, there's a deficit that we have to address. It bothers me because I still see certain things, you know, the amount of money we're sending out to these private law firms is unbelievable. So there's so many other ways I see that we could cut expenses. But, you know, I'm not saying it's an easy process, but it should be something that should be vetted in the public and at least with the legislature. You know, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a legislator and I don't even know what they're going to do. So it's unsettling, and it's the way that things used to be done. But going forward, the public doesn't have the tolerance for this anymore.
And, you know, with all this being said, you have NYFA looming in the background. The Nassau Interim Finance Authority is supposed to oversee finances in the county. They have made recommendations, but they've been somewhat silent here as far as this budget is concerned. What's the latest regarding Adam Barsky and company there? Are they making any type of situations known in which things have to be cut out of this 2018 budget?
Well, they made some recommendations, but I personally don't agree with them, a number of them, including they wanted to cut back on the VEEP, which is like for the firefighters training. They wanted to put that onto the villages. So the county pays for the training as almost a courtesy, and they wanted to put that cost on the villages to save the county money. But again, I don't know. I think it's a hardship for a lot of the villages, and we can't take a chance with our fire departments not being trained properly. So there were a few suggestions they made, but again, I don't think that they were anything. I don't know. I really didn't agree with a lot of those either. I see where the waste is. I see the major waste, and it's you know, it's still with these outside counsel. There's also what's going on with these pilot programs is really upsetting me, because we're giving billion-dollar developers breaks, tax breaks, you know, pilots, they call them. And, you know, that takes out a huge amount of our budget just there. What just happened in Green Acres Mall, what's happening in Glen Cove with that RXR development, which you had on your news prior to but the environmental statement came back.
Yeah.
They have some concerns. These tax breaks to the billionaires are really hurting our budget. It's hurting the city of Glen Cove. We're not going to see a property tax benefit for 40 years from this project because it's all going to the pilot. You know, they say, oh, you're going to get sales tax, but sales tax is not something you can really count on, as you see in the county budget. It could be there or it could not be there. It's very volatile and you cannot control it. So the bottom line is I think we have to watch these tax breaks that are going out. We still have to hit the assessment situation. Yeah. $50 million a year, which is exactly pretty much what our budget, what our gap is, goes to attorneys who contest the tax, you know, our taxes. So if we fixed that one thing with the assessment and at least lowered that $50 million, we would be so much closer in our budget.
And
so,
it's interesting, you know, you mentioned tax breaks. Can't help but think about regarding the Green Acres Mall as well. That also,
right,
you know,
right,
with residents in that Valley Stream area, you know, everybody up in arms regarding some of this stuff.
Well, there's reason. I mean, their taxes went up so much, you know, without any notice and without anything they can do. And a lot of them are on fixed incomes. You know, I mean, all right, I'm going to be a little, but the Green Acre Mall at least brings in a lot of jobs. When we're looking at some of these high-end condo places getting tax increases that, you know, maybe they have like a maid service and a concierge, but they don't provide hundreds of jobs. So that, I think, is even worse. I mean, I think the Green Acres Mall was completely handled wrong and shouldn't have happened either. But that almost, you know, when you have a mall or you have something that is stimulating jobs, you know, possibly that would be something that would be more considered. But again, the way they did that with Green Acres, it was not fair at all to the residents, and I'm hoping that it doesn't stick, that one.
Before we let you go, we're talking with Delia DeRigo-Witt, and she's actually vying for another term as far as the 11th district is concerned in Nassau. Looks like the Islanders' new home will be in Belmont, Delia, and a lot of people have been saying, why Belmont? Well, at least an improvement, I guess, from Barclays in Brooklyn, but nonetheless, no Coliseum run here, it looks like. But this has been a big point of contention throughout. You and I have spoken about this before, too.
We have, and, you know, I'm still disappointed. I mean, I'm happy that if they come back to Nassau County, that's great, and I hope it helps that area. But, you know, I mean, I went to Hofstra. I think my roommate came to Hofstra to see the Islanders. You know, she was such an Islander fan. I don't know. I think they belong in Nassau Coliseum, but unfortunately, and I knew it was a big problem. So did the late, you know, county legislator Judy Jacobs. There's a requirement for how many seats you're allowed to have for the National Hockey League.
Right. And you have to have luxury boxes too. They just don't have it. But this is going to be a mark on the Mangano run here over the last 8 years. That's for sure.
I think, you know what, I think whoever got that bid, and I hope that was done. You know, I heard in his speech that Ratner called him. I mean, it should have been gone out in a public bid, and it should have really all been considered publicly. But that's up to the administration to decide who got that bid. There were four companies that bid for it. But I personally would have said, hey, you're welcome to put a bid in, but the condition is the Islanders have to be able to come here if they so desire to.
Right.
To give this to a bid to someone who destroyed our chances of getting the Islanders back, you know, it drives me crazy. It absolutely drives me crazy.
No, and listen, it seemed like an easy fix, you know, when everything was under construction and everything else. Nonetheless, you know, listen, it's a beautiful new building, but no professional hockey team will be playing there, it looks like.
No, and I don't know, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen their numbers. There's a few things that we're looking into. I'll give you the scoop, but, you know, the parking tickets have been a real problem. You know, the charge for parking has been a real concern.
Yeah.
So we're looking into that. And then I was just told the other day that it's very hard to get a receipt for your parking ticket. So we're looking into that also. And I just really hope, I don't know, I'm not happy with the way things have gone so far. Yes, the building is nice. Do I feel like it's a new building? No. I mean, I don't know if you've been there yet, but, you know, it's definitely some improvements. The food court is nice and all that, but it doesn't feel that different.
The outside, they made some improvements. I was there a few months ago, but it's not the same. It's just not the same without the aisles. Delia, a pleasure to have you. We wish you the best of luck as you march towards the elections.
Thank you so much. And I always enjoy speaking with you first thing in the morning.
Nothing like it, right? 7 o'clock call.
All right.
Listen, good luck with everything. And I'm sure we'll be talking more down the road here.
That sounds great. Have a nice day.
There you go. Delia DeRigge-Witten. She is the legislator, of course, in Nassau County of District Number 11 and vies to keep her seat.